Almighty God, King of the universe, we thank Thee, Father, for Thy great love, for Thy mercy, for Thy great goodness. We thank Thee for Jesus Christ and Him crucified, our hope of glory. We thank You for Fred and for his life and all that he's meant for us here. We thank You for Stephanie and for Jada. We're thankful that she's a chosen child, that Fred and Stephanie chose her out of all children, and that they had an opportunity to be an influence in her life, and we pray that she'll grow up now to be a great credit and a blessing to Stephanie and to that family in the memory of Fred. We thank You for Adair and Nancy Chapman, and we thank You for that they chose to come and help save this little place, and under Your guidance and leadership that they were able to do such a wonderful work here and deliver this church from the power of influence of evil to good. And thank You for the ministries that You've given us. Thank You for our jail and prison ministry. Thank You for our hospital ministry. Thank You for our feeding ministry. Thank You for our radio that goes out to all the world. Thank You for, Father, for the internet ministry that we have. Thank You for all the people that are involved and all the people that makes it possible. And we pray that You bless us and that we continue to grow and that we continue to help many souls to hear of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Thank You for Yurity and all of her family and all of those that's brought this great barbecue dinner today. Thank You, Father, for the food that they have and all of the blessings that they have down there for the homeless and the clothing and the stuff that they have prepared for the homeless. Bless us as we go forward today, Father, to feed the poor and the homeless and to have a great day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'd like to welcome our radio audience to the worldwide radio broadcast of the Main Street Church of Christ. This is where the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden preach the gospel to all the earth and feed the poor every Sunday. We'd like to welcome Radio North Texas. We'd like to welcome Radio Abilene, Radio Arkansas, out of Searcy, Arkansas. We have three stations that are now simulcasting us out of Arkansas. All of Oklahoma City and Central Oklahoma, we're thankful for that station that's picked us up there. We have Nashville that covers all of Tennessee, Kentucky, and Alabama. And then, of course, we have Worldwide Christian Radio that covers all the United States, all of Canada, Alaska. We had a guy call us from French Canada this past week and sang a Christian song to us on the speakerphone in French. And so it just shows you how far our radio goes. We cover all of Mexico, Central America, South America, all of Europe, Eastern Europe, Ukraine, Russia, all of Africa and the Middle East. So we'd like to welcome all of you that are worshiping in your homes today. And we're thankful to have you, those of you that are in countries that are not free to worship. We'd like to introduce our jail chaplain, Brother Eddie Frazier. Eddie, come and tell us about the jail and prison ministry this month.
Good morning, church. Everything seemed to be going pretty well this morning, but I want y'all to continue to pray for us. We've added three new men to the ministry that wants the opportunity to come in and share the gospel with those that are incarcerated. I believe one's name is Oscar Adams from Central Point Church of Christ. Then we got Thomas Smith from Satin Road Church of Christ, and Jeffrey Bell from Mountain View Church of Christ. Now, I wanted to give the opportunity to all the young men here to also, I think every man and every Christian has a sermon that they have in them, and it's usually a sermon that they might get the opportunity to teach or preach to some other individual, but never come into the pulpit or get to preach. Now, I know here in Main Street, you get that opportunity if you want it. All you have to do is ask. But in most churches, they don't get that opportunity. Most time, men will not ask. But if you'd like to come to the jail or the prison just one time and get your sermon out to a captive audience, just come see me and we'll get you on the list. You can just come one time. If that's all you got in you is one sermon, you know, then you're done. Or if you feel like coming back doing it again, the same sermon, because you get a different crowd every Sunday. You know, we get different captive orders every Sunday. And I wanted to make one correction in the bulletin. I noticed they said we baptized 10 men last week, but we baptized 26. But the total was right. The total is 735 for the year. And if you notice, last year we had a total for the whole year of 900. And here we are just in the last Sunday of August, and we're at 735. So I'm praying that we will reach our goal of 1,000 this year. Y'all continue to pray for us. Thank you.
Amen. What a wonderful ministry that is. Over 33 years ago, I was a chaplain of the jail here, and I got an email in the last 2 weeks from an elder at Highland Oaks that reminded me I'd forgotten him. I've got Alzheimer's disease, but he had reminded me that he had served in the Dallas County Jail and helped to go to preach in the Dallas County Jail 35 years ago. So how wonderful it is. What a great ministry it is that we have here in preaching the gospel to all the world, and the opportunity that God has given us. You'll open your Bibles with me this morning to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. We're going to begin reading in verse 21. We're going to have our lesson beginning in verse 21. I asked several people this past week, there's just one thing that God won't forgive. What's that? Well, some people says, well, it's the unpardonable sin. It's the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, sin against the Holy Ghost. And so I'd encourage you to go read and study in Matthew chapter 12. You'll find out that what happened there is that people saw Jesus work a miracle, and they attributed that power, the power of the Holy Spirit that helped him work that miracle, they attributed that to the devil. By Beelzebub does he cast out devils, they said. So they attributed that to the devil, and Jesus said that such a thing is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Well, we can't do that today because we can't see Jesus work a miracle and attribute that to the devil. So there isn't an unpardonable sin there. You can't do that. So another said, well, it's a sin that you don't ask forgiveness for. And in some cases, that's true. You can have commit some of the major sins and not be forgiven of that. However, Romans 3:24 says, being freely justified by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. That being word, that word there in Greek is a continuous action verb. It's happening every minute of every day. 1 John 1 says, if we confess our faults, He's faithful and just to forgive us our trespasses. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth. That's a continuous action verb. Cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. So the normal day-to-day sins were being cleansed, were being justified every minute of every day by the blood of Jesus Christ is continually being attributed and counted to us. Now, you can commit a major sin. You can steal, you can fornicate, you can commit adultery, and do all of the major sins that are listed 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 following, Galatians 5:19 following. You commit some of those major sins and refuse to repent of it, and you'd be lost. That God won't forgive that because you hadn't asked for forgiveness. But there's only one thing that God won't forgive, and that's if you don't forgive. So I want to talk to you this morning about you forgiving, you cleansing your heart from any animosity that you have towards anyone. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. Then came Peter unto him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him until seven times. The word here that we get sin comes from hamartano, which is a Greek word. It means to miss the mark and not sharing the prize. If it was commonly used to describe shooting at a target with a bow and arrow. So you set a target up, and you got a bullseye there, and you shoot the bow and the arrow goes and you hit outside of the bullseye. You miss the bullseye. You might have got close. You just didn't get in the O-ring. You didn't get the bullseye. if you miss the mark anywhere, even you got close to the target, doesn't count. Close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. Don't count any other way. So you've got to hit the target. And so hamartano means that we've all missed the mark. And so it means to err morally, to sin, our faults, our offenses, our trespasses. How often must I forgive my brother? My brother keeps doing the same thing. He keeps coming back to me and saying, I'm sorry, please forgive me. How long do I have to keep putting up with this? Peter wants to show Jesus how generous he was. The rabbis talked that three times was sufficient. And so Peter wants to show Jesus how forgiving he is, and he says, until seven times. Well, the reason the rabbis taught that in the Old Testament, in Amos 1:3, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus, and for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have threshed Gilead with the threshing instruments of iron. And so Damascus had attacked Gilead three times, and then when they came the fourth time, God says, I'm going to get them. And then again in Amos chapter 2, verse 6, about Israel, he said, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they sold the righteous for silver, and the poor for a pair of shoes. And so they made slaves out of people. These were wicked people in Israel and in Samaria at about that time. But Peter says, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him till seven times? This was a large stretch of charity, he thought. Matthew 7, verse 22. And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. The new covenant is better than the old covenant. The New Testament is better than the Old Testament. Jesus can see through Peter's cloak of self-righteousness and see the unloving heart inside of Peter. Forgiveness is like God's forgiveness in Hebrews 8:12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. Isaiah the prophet had given us what this would be like in Isaiah 1:18, where he says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And so if you're counting past one, you're playing Santa Claus. You're making a list and checking it twice and trying to find out who's naughty and nice on your list, and that's not going to work. You're remembering, you're not forgiving God's way. Till 70 times 7 is a Hebrewism. It means to forgive on and on and on without limit. This denotes an unlimited number and is used in a description of revenge in the case of Lamech in the Old Testament. Genesis 4:24, Lamech says, if Cain be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, we're told how we're to conduct ourselves. Forbearing one another. Putting up with one another, in other words. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye. So grace for grace, mercy for mercy is to be required. We're to be to others as God has been to us. In no case should a Christian harbor malice or resentment against an offender. In Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and following, Jesus said, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Matthew 18, verse 23. Wherefore, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. The kingdom of heaven, the church of Christ on earth, is likened unto, and where do you picture yourself in this parable? Think about this parable and think about how you picture yourself, where you think you are in here. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents of gold is $1,138,000,000 in today's money at gold at $1,300 an ounce. 10,000 talents was an enormous amount. Only 29 talents were used in the making of the tabernacle. Exodus 38, verse 24, all the gold that was occupied for the work in all of the work of the holy place, even the gold of the offering, was 29 talents. When David made the temple in Jerusalem, he gave 3,000 talents of gold, and the people, all of the princes of the land, gave 5,000 talents of gold, a total of 8,000 talents of gold. There was more. This man owed more to his king than was in all of the greatest temple in the ancient world, in the temple in Jerusalem. This is a greater amount that exceeds all the gold in the temple. It exceeds any possibility of payment. We owe God an unpayable debt. Verse 25. For as much as he hath not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. No man can pay for his own sins. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp, snakes, in other words, is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and of bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. In a way of peace they have not known, and there is no fear of God before their eyes. Now God tells us the secret of why he gave the law in the Old Testament. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world might become guilty before God. God would have everybody take a look at our own selves and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What is demanded of us is perfect righteousness, perfect obedience, to be just exactly like Jesus Christ. And I fall so far short of that every day that there's just no comparison at all. So since there's no chance of me meriting or earning or working and deserving my salvation, I'm going to have to accept the free gift of God the way that God has provided for me to be saved. The self-righteous who think that they've never sinned are severed from Christ and fallen from grace. In Galatians 5:4 it says, Christ has become no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you've fallen from grace. Matthew chapter 18, verse 26. But the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee off. The only way to make it through this thing is to own up to the Master and confess our sins, just like King David did. King David killed a righteous man, a good man, to get his wife. And God sent Nathan the prophet to come and rebuke David. And so Nathan comes and takes him on a trip around the world, gives him a parable about sheep and stuff like that. And finally he told David, "Thou art the man." And the difference between David and all other kings in the ancient world is every other king would have said, "Take that prophet out and kill him." But David repented. David really believed in God, and he repented. And when God saw that he really repented, that he was really sorry, God put his spirit on him and inspired him to write Psalms 51. If you want to know how to repent, Psalms 51 is going to tell you how to repent. So turn with me now to Psalms 51. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." Throughout this Psalms, "you understood" is used. Who's going to blot out my transgressions? You, God, blot out my transgressions. You, God, wash me. Who can save me but God? Only God can save me. Who can save you? Just God. So I want you to pour it out to God when you come to God. Pour it out to Him just like this. "Wash me." Who wash me? God wash me. "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities. And cleanse me." Who cleanse me? God cleanse me. "Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make known unto me wisdom. Purge me, you God, purge me with hyssop." Hyssop is what the high priest took, and he dipped in the blood, and he went behind the veil every year and sprinkled it on the mercy seat, confessing his own sins and the sins of the people. And so hyssop meant the one with the blood. And so purge me with what blood? With the blood of the Lamb. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear the joy and gladness, that the bones that thou hast broken may rejoice. When a sheep kept going astray in the ancient world, and he just kept wandering off, and just kept wandering off, and just kept wandering off, the shepherd would finally break his leg and put his leg in a splint, because it's better for the sheep to have a broken leg than him to wander off and the wolf get him. David is likened himself to that. Has God ever beat you like that? He's beat all the snot out of me. God has beat me down. I'm telling you, He don't have to beat me anymore. He's got my attention. You don't have to tell me twice. I'm going to repent quick. He's got my attention. I know all about it. He's broke my back. He hadn't just broke my leg. And this is what this says, isn't it? That the bones, not just his legs, that the bones that thou hast broken may rejoice. God will beat you however much you need to be beat. To save your soul, if you're a child of God, He's not going to let you sin and get away with it. Hide thy face from my sins. Oh, when I think, I used to be so stupid and think that God didn't see what I was doing. But God sees everything. Nothing is hidden from the eyes of Him to whom we have to do. Oh God, that you saw that. That you saw me do that. Oh God, hide thy face from my sins. And keep hiding. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all of my iniquities. And create in me a clean heart. Our heart is so filthy and so rotten. Only God can create in us a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. David had lost the Spirit when he committed this evil act and killed an innocent man and committed adultery. And now the Holy Spirit has come back upon him, and he's writing this great psalm. And he says, oh, you've made me like I used to be. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And God, please kill me before you take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then, after I repented properly, then will I teach transgressors thy ways. See, that's what Eddie does now. Eddie's been a sinner too. Eddie's been a sinner too, just like us. We've all been sinners. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. Thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice. God's not interested in the blood of bulls and goats. Thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart thou wilt not despise. That's the truth. That's what God wants to hear from you, this 51st Psalm. Don't ever forget this 51st Psalm. This is how to repent. This is how God wants you to repent. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 and be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free downloadable a cappella singing and Fair to Midland gospel preaching on there. There's 1,000 links, and you can really study the Bible on our website. And we'd encourage you to go there. Again, that website is www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. As God sees us, Isaiah 64 verse 6 tells us how God sees us. But we are all as an unclean thing, and our righteousness is as filthy rags, and we do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Yeah, that's what we're like. We're like we're all dressed up in filthy rags. Worse than the homeless. Worse than people that have nothing. That's what we look like to God if we haven't had a change of righteousness. Back to Matthew chapter 18, verse 27. Then the Lord of that servant was moved. He fell on his face. Look back at verse 26 again. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. He forgave him an unpayable debt, an enormous debt. And God's love and grace and forgiveness to us should bring love and grace to our hearts in forgiving others. This is an act of unparalleled forgiveness and is only found in God's forgiveness of sinners. Isaiah 61 verse 10, it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He's taken those filthy rags off of us and clothed us with a brand new robe, the garments of salvation. He's covered me with a robe of righteousness as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud and the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God shall cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. And so we today, because we've been cleaned, we've been shed of all of the filthy rags and put on the new, the righteousness of God, God is sending us out to all of the earth. As Eddie's going to jail and prison, as others are going to hospitals, as we're going out on the radio and the internet and in the neighborhood here, God is causing praise to spring forth from all nations, everybody around us. And so where it says he loosed him of that debt, he loosed him and forgave him the debt, it's the same Greek word that's used to describe what the Romans did to Barabbas when they loosed him and he got to walk away free and Christ was crucified. Remember, the Romans gave the people a choice. They said, "Will you have Barabbas or Jesus?" And they all, the high priest got them to cry for Barabbas, and they said, "Barabbas, Barabbas," and so they turned loose Barabbas. And he got away like the scapegoat, which you go study Old Testament types and shadows, you see it's exactly like that. We're like the scapegoat. We get to get away, and Christ died and paid our debt. See, forever sin, it has to be paid for. It's either going to be paid for by you or it's going to be paid for by Jesus. It's either going to be paid for by me or it's going to be paid for by Jesus. Now, I've chosen to let Jesus pay my debt. I hope you have too, because you'd be pretty stupid if you hadn't. Matthew chapter 18, verse 28. But the same servant, the one that was forgiven so much, went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands upon him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me that thou owest." This wicked disciple was unwilling to accept grace and pardon. He's going to pay the king back. He's going to go out and start collecting everybody's debt that owed him. A pence was 15 cents. It was the wages of a day laborer. And it's not just a servant. It's a wage of a misthios, a day slave, 15 cents. So what this guy owed him was $15 at best, a trifling sum. Just a small amount shows how little, after all, we sin against each other compared to our sins against God. Malefactor's attitudes and words are similar to those that he himself used to the king. But he took him by the throat, strictly legal under Roman law. And this harsh and violent conduct is in wide contrast to the conduct of his Lord towards him. Romans 2:1 asks us, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doeth the same thing." So, the type of judgment that's talked about here is the harsh, strict, "You're going to hell" judgment. Every person that I've ever known that's been like that has had a secret sin. Every person I've ever known like that has been had secret sins of their own. And sure enough, sooner or later, God exposes that and exposes them. And there's great humiliation and great embarrassment. Don't do that. Don't play those type of games. Repent of that. Romans 2:6 tells us, and this is a scary thought, "Who will render to every man according to his works," to his deeds. I don't want to get what I got coming. I don't want to get what I got coming. I know what I got coming. I got a beating coming. I don't want to be rendered according to my deeds. I don't want to be paid back according to my deeds. I want to be rendered mercy and grace and forgiveness and love and charity. That's what I want. I don't want to get what I got coming. Matthew 18, verse 29. And his fellow servants fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Just similar words. The fellow servant only asked the same patience of him that he sought from the king his own self. In verse 30, and he would not, but he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Legalists can never remember that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home, or call our check our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free downloadable a cappella singing. There's 1,000 sermons, 1,000 links on there. Matthew 18:31. But when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and they came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all thy debt because thou desirest me. This offense is worse than the offense of the original indebtedness to the Lord. He says, I forgave thee all of that debt. If God marked our sins, who of us could sin? The psalmist says in Psalms 130, verse 3, if thou, O Lord, should mark our iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. This guy didn't fear God after he got forgiven his own self. He thought God was a punk. He thought God was a chump. He thought God was a stooge. He thought God was a plaything that he could play with this deal. He didn't fear God. Fear God is awesome. Respect of God. He had no respect of God to treat his fellow servant that way. I knew a guy that got furious over a person I was trying to bring to church that owed him $20. A measly 20 stinking dollars. I knew a guy in prison that told me, he said, Kelly, I'm going to kill that guy right there. And I said, why are you going to kill him? He says, he owes me 2 packs of camels. Now, camels were 30 cents a pack in those days. And I said, well, let me give you 2 packs of camels. He said, no, no, it's the principle of the thing. It's the principle of the thing. And next time I saw him, he had blood up to both elbows where he had cut this guy's guts out. I'm telling you, wickedness will take you to the bottom, to the very, very bottom. You've seen stuff like that, Jimmy. You know what I'm talking about. You've been there. And Eddie, you preach to people like that every day, don't you? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his words do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord, more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel, everybody in other words, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. It's huge redemption. It's great buyback is with God. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities, from all of my sins, which are legion. I don't have 5,000 sins. I've got 5,000 times 5,000 times 5,000. Matthew 18, verse 33. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Grace for grace is required if we want to be saved. Matthew 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. In Luke 17, verse 34, Jesus said, I tell you that that night there shall be 2 men in one bed, and one should be taken, and the other should be left. So you got to be careful. You don't want to be left at the trumpet. Ephesians 4, verse 32 tells us the secret of all this. It's real simple. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. James 5, verse 9 says, grudge not one against another, and brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, a judge standeth before the door. Jesus is watching how we conduct ourselves. Verse 34, and the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors. Bazano is the Greek word there. It means to torment until he should pay all that was due unto him. Deliver him to the tormentors. Bazano, to torture, not just in prison, but in torment. The triers in the ancient world, where it was common for men to hide and conceal property and pretend that they were very poor to escape debt and taxes, these triers, they was a custom, was practice of subjecting to torture a person who tried to do this in order to compel them to betray where they had their riches hidden. Till he should pay all that he was due. How can he? He'll never get out. He sealed his own doom. Now there was a guy named Korah that he told Moses, he said, you've just taken too much upon yourself. And me and the other guys here, we're just going to take over. And we're just going to take over. And you've just taken too much upon yourself. And Moses said, if the Lord speaks by these men, then they'll die the normal death. But if something new happens, and the earth open up, and they go down alive into the pit, then you'll know that the Lord has spoken by me, and not by them, in other words. Now, this took place in 1447 B.C. 500 years later, King David, the Spirit of God comes upon King David, and he writes the 88th Psalm. And it's about Korah. What's Korah been up to for 500 years? He's been in hell. He went down alive into the pit in 1447 B.C. He's been alive in hell for 500 years. What's he been doing? Let's take a look at what Korah's been doing. Notice it says, a song or psalm for the sons of Korah. Now that story is found in Numbers 16, if you want to go read it. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. He still hadn't figured out. He's been there 500 years, and he still hadn't figured out his situation's permanent. This guy came out of Egypt. He saw the 10 plagues. He walked through the Red Sea as on dry ground. He saw the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. He saw, he heard the 10 commandments given by God, and this jackass made a fool out of himself and went down alive to the pit, and he's been crying to God for 500 years. When you go down there, it's too late. When you go down there, it's too late. You better do your crying up here at the foot of the cross. You just meet me right down to the front and the sermon's over with. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry. For my soul is full of trouble, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. For I am counted as those that go down to the pit. He went down and lined the pit. I am a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lieth in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, to be beyond the memory of God. That's what hopelessness. For God to say, just put that guy on the pain, no man list. I don't want to hear nothing else from him. To be beyond the memory of God, that's what happens to people that go to the pit. They're beyond the memory of God. whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. That means like there's a roll call after the battle, and so the guy would take roll call as to who's still alive and who's dead, and so these people are cut off from thy hand, those that have died. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness and in the deep. Man, it's like being at the very bottom of the ocean in the hole of the Titanic. You can't get no further down than what hell is. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves. It's like standing at the beach, man, and the waves hitting you at high tide and knocking you back and knocking you back and knocking you back, and there's no end to the punishment and the terrors of God for those that are cut off from Him. There's no end to this punishment. For thou hast put away my acquaintance far from me. You're not going to be able to get together with your buddies and split a coat 45 down there, I guarantee you. There's not going to be any Mad Dog 2020 where y'all slip out of the same bottle. There's not going to be none of that. Thou put my acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination to them. I am shut up and I cannot come forth. Man, I've heard them bars slam. They put me in a place that I was next door to where they had Birdman of Alcatraz started. And the door was a solid steel plate. And the floor had a hole, a toilet, a pipe that went down it, and that was your toilet. It didn't have a toilet. It was that pipe. And there was no light bulb, no window, no nothing. And there was cockroaches, and there was rats. This is worse than that. This is worse than that. You don't want to go where I went, much less here. My eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Yeah. Yeah, he will. Will thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Yes, they will. At the coming again of Christ, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds. And so we shall ever be with the Lord. Yes. Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But to thee have I cried, O Lord, in the morning. My prayer shall prevent thee. And that word there in Hebrew means come first. This guy says, I get up first in the morning in hell to pray to God. I'm the first one to pray to God in hell. I'm going to pray first in case there's a chance of me getting out of here. I'm going to pray first to God in the morning. Don't do any good. Don't do any good. You can be the last at night and first in the morning. Doesn't do any good at all. Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Oh, there it is. Lying hypocrite, he knows why he was cast off. If you're lost, you're going to know why you were cast off. It's because you left the Main Street Church of Christ this morning and you didn't get yourself down here and get your business straight. That's why you were cast off. Don't be go rubbing your eye to God on a judgment day and tell Him, why am I going to go to hell? You know why you're going to go to hell. I've told you this morning why you're going to go to hell. It's because you're wicked and unloving. And you're not like Jesus. And your only hope is to start trying to be like Him. Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thy face from me? Still a con man. I'm afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They have came around me daily like water. They compass me about all together. Lover and friend hast thou put far from me in my acquaintance into darkness. Yeah, you're not going to get together with your buddies down there. There's not going to be any of that. Matthew 18, verse 35. How can this guy pay? Look at verse 44 again. And the Lord was wroth and delivered him unto the tormentors, that he should pay all of that was due unto him. He can't ever get out of there. He can't ever pay back all that was due unto him. Verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brothers their trespasses. So I'm asking any of you here that I've trespassed against, you forgive me, please. And I'm going to tell you, if you've trespassed against me, I've done forgive you. And so we've got that straightened out. Now all we have to straighten out is what you got to do to be saved. Remember, in the heart, the Hebrew word heart means the mind, the emotions, the intellect, and the memory. So you got to forgive in your entire daily walk. Remember, we got to forgive like God forgives. In Hebrews 8:12, it says, "For I will be merciful unto their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities I'll remember no more." Isn't it wonderful? I can still remember. I try not to, but I can still remember my sins if I force myself to. I can still remember them, but God can't even remember them. How do you do this? Well, I'm going to use an example I often use. I've got a rotten, no good cousin that has stolen my daddy's 1940 Mercury. That 1940 Mercury was my inheritance. And it belongs to me, and this rotten, no good cousin took it. And if I thought about that and I dwelled on that, I could just imagine myself taking him by the swivel stack and blacking both his eyes, man, just to get started with this morning. And if I thought about it some more, I'd be on the way to Oak Cliff. And if I thought about it more than that, I'd do it. And there's no telling what all I'd do to this guy. The truth of the matter is that happened 30 years ago and he's probably dead and gone. I have no idea what's happened to him because I hadn't thought about it. I only mention him when I use it as an example that if I can forgive and forget about a 1940 Mercury that anybody'd like to have, I mean, the thing's worth probably $25,000. If I can forgive and forget that, you ought to be able to forgive and forget little old measly things that people owe you in life. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, Jesus says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Just exactly like God, forgive me, just exactly like I forgive that sorry, rotten, no good cousin of mine. Well, I hope he has, because I forgot all about it. And that's what he says. He'll forget all about my sins. He won't even remember them no more. This guy's only an example to me. That's all he is, man. I've never spent one second even thinking about him. How do you forget and forgive people? You don't dwell on it. You don't talk to yourself about it. You don't rib yourself up. You don't pump yourself up about it's a matter of the principle of the thing for them two packs of camel. Matthew 6, verse 14, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." What you need for the judgment day is repentance for your sins. You need to be sorry. Godly sorrow worketh repentance and forgiveness in your hearts for others, and to be clothed in the righteousness of God. And that's a simple thing. You first just need to believe the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you believe that gospel, put your faith and trust in God to save you. Repent of your sins. Be sorry for your sins. Come, march right down here to the front and confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be baptized into Christ and have all your sins washed away. If you're already a Christian and you goofed and you fumbled a football and there's sin in your life, just come down and make confession. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray you one for another that you may be healed. If you're sorry and you want to repent, now's your opportunity while we stand and sing. Won't you come now?